Yes, the sequence of Dion Colin has fallen down because Dion rang me on Thursday and said, sorry, you again, I'm not well. So that's fine because I was meant to be next week and I was on the way in preparing, but I've changed both the topic and the approach. So I'm glad to have had that. If all else fails, call the elders is what was going to be the topic for next week. But in reading it through a few times, I realised that actually James is not only talking here about the elders and calling for the elders, but he's talking about ministry of prayer, which is so important. So it comes under the heading, and you've got your little handout sheet, of healing, help and hope. So if you've got your Bibles, have your Bibles open, have your notes, and with your third hand, write or whatever you want to do. Now, James seems to divide this up. In verses 13 to 16, illness and sickness with a personal focus, there's a little snippet of two verses in there where he talks about Elijah, which brings in the land and the environment. Could I just say he brings in God into what happens with the rain, not Mother Nature, which is an interesting little thing to keep in mind. And then at the end, he has two verses about the wanderer. So it divides up, for me anyhow, into three interesting little sections. And it starts with healing. Depending on your translation, but I want to say that the word that James used here is a word that means suffering. Is anyone in trouble or suffering? Now, friends, at those days when James wrote, Christians weren't being treated all that well, they weren't being paid properly, they were hungry, and it seemed as if the wealthy who had workers weren't paying them properly. So this was a problem that they faced. So obviously there was sadness and there was trouble. There was trouble at a very basic level. They didn't have enough food. And as well as that, Christians were being wrongly condemned. Right at the start, in verse 6, you have condemned, you have killed righteous man. So there was persecution of Christians and there was ill treatment of Christians. So when James writes, he said, yes, are any of you suffering in any way or in trouble? Now, how do we understand this? Well, this is not necessarily the sickness he's talking about. He talks about that later. It may be something like that, but he says, what type of trouble? Well, it's not specified. He doesn't specify the trouble, he just talks about trouble. In some translations it says long suffering or ongoing suffering. So that's the situation that the Christians were facing. Now, friends, misunderstood, work, friends, whatever. We're going to sing at the end, what a friend we have in Jesus. Do your friends despise, forsake you? That can be part of the suffering that we're putting up with. Are we misunderstood? Well, yes, Christians were. Is there heartache over something that's happened? Is there a situation at work? This is the suffering here. Disappointment. Disappointment. Now, is it callous for him then to say, well, if you're suffering, pray? Of course. I think what James is saying is, you're a Christian. You're part of the flock of God. You're part of his family. So wouldn't the natural response be, if you're upset or there's some trouble or you're afflicted, that you would pray to God? That would be a wonderful response. Let them pray. Now, here I've got there, it's callous. I don't think so. I think what he's saying is the natural reaction for a Christian in a problem situation is to bring it to God. Because God's our Father. He understands our thinking, even though we don't understand our own thinking sometimes. He understands our thinking. So James says, if there's something upsetting you or a problem, bring it to God. It's not callous. Is it simple? I don't think it's too simple. Sometimes when we're faced with an issue, rather than taking it in prayer, we rush to find a solution. So the answer actually is, bring it to God first. And let's see now, if you remember last week, and of course you all remember last week, with one of the resolutions for the new year, was to trust God and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him and he'll direct our path. So wouldn't it be good if then, in times of difficulty, we did that? We didn't lean on our own understanding, but we trusted God and let him direct our path. So I think this is what James is saying. And he's saying the Psalms are full of people crying out to God, why have you forgotten me? Look what's going on. My enemies are attacking me. I'm upset. We've got the whole book of Psalms expressing emotions like this. So it's not new. Self-pity, well, we can go into self-pity. We need to be careful about that. But it's not wrong to pray for ourselves. And sometimes I think as Christians, we've almost thought, oh, it's sinful to pray for myself. You know, there are people overseas, missios, who are in far worse trouble. Well, friends, here we have the example of Jesus. Father, Father, he's calling out. Please let this cup pass. I know what's in front, but I want the cup to pass. And the other one is, don't be anxious, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, friends, let's not feel guilty about talking to God about things that we're trying to cope with, suffering, upset, whatever it might be. Let's make sure we bring those things to God. Now, the next one, is anyone cheerful? This is a bit of a balance, isn't it? Is anyone cheerful? And I've got there, please, let's not forget God in good times. Let's not forget how he cares for us and celebrate. You know, sometimes when I come to church and we're singing something a bit dreary, I think, oh, this isn't how I'm feeling. This isn't how I'm feeling. I'm really feeling a bit more celebratory than dreary. But we have all sorts of emotions. So he says there, if this is the situation, first of all, if you're suffering, pray. But if you're cheerful, sing praise. Sing to God. And I've got just there, give thanks to the Lord, make known what he has done. Speak to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Yes, do this sort. Sing and make music in your heart. So I think it's important when we're singing on a Sunday that we can take some songs into our week, or we can open a music book or a hymn book or whatever's going to speak to us and jump around at home and sing or dance or do whatever you want to do. But just do it in a cheerful way. And I was interested to read this comment. Here is one of the greatest values of praise. It decentralises self. The true worship and praise of God demands a shift of centre from self to God. One cannot praise God without relinquishing occupation with self. Praise produces forgetfulness of self, and forgetfulness of self is health. How interesting. Praise isn't being here and waving our arms and doing that. That could be part of it. But praise is really from our heart, focusing on God and praising Him. So, if we're suffering and miserable, well, take it to God. But if we're abounding with joy, sing, dance, let God know we are enjoying His goodness to other, or the drums, that's right, or the drums. So that's what can happen. Now, James changes words, and that probably doesn't mean anything, but he does change words from verse 13 when he talks about suffering, or whatever words you might have in your Bible. Some have got afflicted, ill-treated, suffering. Then he changes it in verse 14 to, is anyone sick or ill? Is anyone sick, without strength or weak in body, debilitating? Let them call the elders. There's something special about a person calling out. James talks about faith and acts. Faith and action. So the faith of the sick person calls out to the elders, please come, or please minister to me. That's the faith and action together of James. They call out to the elders, and the elders come. The issue is serious, and I'm serious about getting better. Personal contact. Now, that's why the elders are a certain group of people. Pardon me, they're trusted, they're proven, they're above reproach. Let them pray over the sick person, anoint them with oil. Now, that oil business has become quite a problem. It's become a problem because it just started off as something simple, and then there was a change, and the oil became sacred, and it had to be blessed in some traditions, and it was only to be administered by certain people, and it became a really big problem, apart from just being a very simple call the elders of the church come, use some oil, olive oil normally in that tradition, and pray. But actually the church grabbed it, and as I say, some traditions grabbed it and said, right, it's only to be administered basically by the priest in the Catholic Church. It has to be prayed over. It has to be blessed. It's not for the ordinary person. And so it became a real problem. I've got it written there. Oil is curative. We find it in Isaiah. We find it with the Good Samaritan, that oil has a curative effect. But it became a problem of last rites and extreme unction, so that if you're dying, one of the things that the priest will come and do will bring some oil. He'll anoint your eyes, he will anoint your ears, he will anoint your nose, he will anoint your feet with oil. And depending on the situation, will offer forgiveness, or whatever you've done, you'll be forgiven. So it became mystical, it became a power in itself, and that became quite dangerous. Good Samaritan, they just bandaged him up with oil, and that was bandages and fine. It wasn't something that became then a tradition. And the only anointing for us in the New Testament, I've got written there, the only anointing for the new is the anointing of the Holy Spirit in 1 John. Then the next question is, let them call for the elders, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, that seems easy enough in verse 14. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man. Whose prayer saves the sick man? Is it the prayer of the elders that saves the sick man? Is it the prayer of the woman who, or lady or man who called for the elders to come? That then became a bit of a problem. So What happens? The prayer will save the sick man. So is everyone healed? Who? Who is healed? And save the person? Forgive their sins. Friends, I've got down there, it's the Lord who will raise the person up. The elders don't forgive sins. The oil is not magic. It's God who is the action. God's the one involved. The one we're praying to, it's to him we're praying the prayer of faith. It's the one we're anointing in the name of the Lord, and it's the Lord who raises them up. So let's make sure that although the elders go, and although the elders anoint, and although the elders pray, it's God who is in action. He's the one to whom we're praying. He's the one who raises the person up. He's the one who forgives the sin. So God is in all of this. Be careful. Be careful. Because the church in days gone by has given over the things that really are the things of God to the leadership of the church. Anyone who is an elder is simply an elder under the authority of the living God. And we minister in the name of the living God. And it's a delight, let me say, in the times I've been here, to go and pray with people and to anoint them. So, if you are in this situation, please call out. Please call out. And the elders will willingly come. So that's the second. We've had healing, help, and now we go to hope. Oh, it was hope. So we go to hope. And this is the third situation. And that's why I'm glad I didn't stick with just elders, call for the elders. This is hope. This is the wanderer who has wandered away there. We've had Elijah. He fits in just as a bit of a segue, just saying the prayer of the righteous man. But then, verse 19, my friends, my brothers, or whoever, if anyone among you wanders from the truth like a little lost sheep, it will be wonderful for someone to bring them back. I would guarantee that most people in this church here this morning, someone in your family, someone close to your heart, has wandered and is a lost sheep. So, what does James say? Well, James says, pray to bring the wanderer back. I guess the question for all of us, for me included, is how much prayer do we put in to the wanderers? It's not easy. If it's a person in our family or even a person who was part of this church, to bring that person back, very hard. But isn't it wonderful what James says? The person who brings him back will have saved the wandering one from death and will bring about the forgiveness of his sins. Isn't that great? Isn't that what we want? To bring people back who have known Jesus but who have nibbled away like the sheep, and we just long for them to come back. So our prayer is, dear Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, please somehow work in that person's life to bring them back to yourself. Sometimes our words, we don't know what to say. But isn't it good that the Spirit works on the internal? I mean, he may bring about his circumstances, but he works on the internal to change people as well. So today, what does James say? Well, he says this: healing for ourselves, pray and praise. Praise brings healing itself, but so does prayer. Secondly, he says, help. If you're in a bad situation with health, please call out to the elders and they will come and help. And the third thing is, there is great hope, because in praying for those who are wandered away, there is the hope that they will come back. We have been reminded from Ian this morning that that our God is a God of kindness. So if we pray to him, would he say, no, I'm not interested? If the elders come and pray, would God say, I don't care who you have? And does it matter to God that someone's wandered away? Of course it does. We all know that story, don't we, of the 99 sheep who are all here. Hey, we might be the 99 sheep, but who is it that's wandered away, the one little sheep? And where is the heart of God really? Well, of course, the heart of God is with us. But isn't the real heart of God like the shepherd? Isn't it really with the one who's wandered away that he wants to bring back? So friends, let's keep in prayer for ourselves, for the leadership, and for those who have wandered. Thank you, James, for what you teach us. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we are so grateful that you listen to our prayers. We are so grateful that there is healing in prayer and in praise. We thank you. We thank you that there is help from those who have leadership in the church, as well as each other. And Father, we thank you that there is great hope as we pray for those who have wandered away. May we be serious in our praying and thoughtful in our living. And Father, may we avail ourselves of the resources that we have in the living God. Father, we are stupid like sheep sometimes and wander away and think that we know better. Forgive us. Help us to trust you, to pray, to think, to act. And Lord, all of this may we do under the guidance of your Spirit and the example of Jesus. For we pray in his name. Amen.